Hi, this is Sandy Rios. Well, on the last episode of Sandy Rios 24/7, we discussed what happened in the Oval Office with President Trump confronting President Ramaphosa, the president of South Africa. It was quite a blow up, and most of you have heard it by now. And if you haven't, if you're not familiar with the details, the last episode is a good source to do that. But I have here in my hands a lot of other information. I've heard from, through channels, different people who live in South Africa. I've heard from a black South African. And I want to share with you what their response is to what's going on and what their stories are. Because I think what I've noticed in reading is that South Africans feel silenced. They don't talk. They're afraid to say anything. So this is unusual, the stuff I'm going to tell you. They fear for their lives. Because what you'll learn today is it isn't really just a white genocide. They are, Africans are killing each other, and they're killing whites too. Yes, white farmers are targeted, but there is no regard for human life, it seems. And so we'll make that case today. Well, when President Ramaphosa was confronted with these videos of kill the Boer and kill the white farmer, this is what he said after this was played for him. This was his first remark. This is clip 20.
Let me clarify that, because what you saw, the speeches that were being made, one, that is not government policy. We have a multi-party democracy in South Africa that allows people to express themselves, political parties to adhere to various policies. And in many cases, or in some cases, those policies do not go along with government policy. Our government policy is completely, completely against what he was saying, even in the parliament. And they're a small minority party, which is allowed to exist in terms of our constitution.
Well, today we're going to bring you an update on Ramaphosa as best we can, and also other people. And again, I'll share with you thoughts of actual South Africans. Plus, we'll review some other things. The rabbi of South Africa, the chief rabbi, has said some incredible things, and we'll play more of that for you today. But first, abortion has remained the world's leading cause of death for the fifth consecutive year in 2023, despite the overturning of Roe v. Wade. Tragically, this total is greater than the number of deaths attributed to the next seven causes of death combined. Sadly, with the abortion pill accounting for over 60% of all abortions, babies' lives are at an even greater risk now. And that's why we work with Preborn to try to stop this in, I think, the most beautiful way possible, and that is by showing women the image of their baby in their womb and letting them decide for themselves that life is more precious than their freedom or whatever it is that they think they're choosing over the life of the baby. They do it so beautifully, and that's why we ask you to go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy, and make your most generous donation. And one last thing, Preborn, by the way, has a 5-star charity rating, so you can give to them with confidence. Go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Well, you can call us at 662-821-2040. You can write us at sandy@afr.net. You can listen to us on any podcast platform. Our home base is afr.net. That's AmericanFamilyRadio.net. But all other podcast platforms, Spotify, Apple, whatever you like, Amazon, whatever you listen through, we are there. You can find us on social media, all the platforms. You can follow me on X and my Twitter handle. Isn't that lovely? I remember when they used to start saying that, I thought it was so funny. I could hardly bring myself to saying it. And now I'm saying it. It's at Sandy Rios Tweet. That's at Sandy Rios Tweet. Okay, so today is like part two of our discussion on South Africa, but we go into some more interesting details that I think you might not hear anywhere else. I guarantee you these things that South Africans are saying that I've come in contact with because it came from a friend, you haven't heard these. So this will be a good show. And look, this is important. Just tuck it away in your mind for some relevant day when you need to share it with people. So that's what we're going to do on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness. That we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice. Not social justice, but God's justice. What's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up. Speak up. Say something. Do something.
The South African delegation came prepared to lecture President Trump on why he was wrong about the discrimination and threats against white farmers and white South Africans generally. The president of South Africa, addressing Trump's claim of genocide, pointed out that there were three white South Africans in the room with him, including a member of his own government. Trump then put on the video that you just saw an excerpt of, and it is a video of a prominent South African leader, Julius Malema, who leads one of the major opposition parties, calling for the murder of farmers, chanting, "Kill the farmer, shoot to kill," being joined in that chant by stadiums full of supporters. And South Africa actually has laws against hate speech. Even in this country, where we don't have hate speech laws, that kind of speech would be considered incitement. But as Trump pointed out, nothing was being done about that. And South Africa has laws, including one recently signed by Cyril Ramaphosa himself, that allow the taking of property without compensation. There are also racially discriminatory laws that affect white South Africans and other minority groups within South Africa. So Trump showed the South African president to his face the evidence that the South African president was trying to deny with this nakedly racial appeal, and it was very effective.
All right, that's the voice of Joel Pollack. He was on Fox, and Joel is a native South African. He was born there, raised there. He's Jewish. I mentioned yesterday on the prior podcast, I've known him since he was really young because he ran for Congress in Illinois against Jan Schakowsky, who was a radical leftist, still is a radical leftist. And it was an uphill battle, but boy, he gave her a run for his money, because even at that age, he was a powerhouse of truth. And now he is one of the chief editors at Breitbart and does a lot of other things. But he married an Israeli girl who was part of the army, and he's very knowledgeable. So it was just cool for me to hear Joel's perspective on his home country. He did a good job of describing what happened in the Oval Office. Just so before we start talking, just the characters here, President Ramaphosa is the heir apparent of the ANC, the African National Congress. And that was that's what Nelson Mandela and his wife Winnie, which is a whole other story. But Nelson Mandela was the leader of the African National Congress. And so it has an honorable past from Nelson Mandela. And now President Ramaphosa, according to letters that I will read to you, has done nothing to stop this violence. Now, and we're going to get into that. But a little bit here I need to explain. It is absolutely true from what we're seeing that the white farmers are being targeted. But it's also true that murders and violence are taking place everywhere. In fact, I think I'm going to rely on Joel to explain this also, because he does it well. This is clip 3, also from Fox News.
South Africa has extremely high levels of violent crime that are growing worse, and that crime affects both black and white South Africans, as Johan Rupert, one of the South African businessmen in the room, pointed out. But there is also the separate issue of the targeting of white South Africans, especially Afrikaners, especially farmers. And many South Africans believe that it is a deliberate act to target those farmers, and they hear the rhetoric of Julius Malema, who Trump put on that video. By the way, in reaction to the meeting, Julius Malema posted statements in which he stood by his positions, and his party reiterated the chant, "Kill the farmer." Oh. You have a situation that will lend itself to genocide because this kind of incendiary rhetoric is being used to justify those farm killings, and that's what Trump is pointing to.
That, again, was the voice of Joel Pollack on Fox News. Okay, so he opens up the discussion there that this is not just genocide. And I believe it's probably not an overstatement it's probably the confusion here is it's not happening in all the country all the time. But murders are happening in the country of black women. In fact, there was a black woman part of the delegation with Ramaphosa who stood up and talked about how people in her own area, women, older women, are being raped and burned to death. It was horrific. Now, she was trying to make the point for Ramaphosa, kind of thinking she's defending him from President Trump saying there's a genocide of white farmers. But really, she just made the point of how violent. And also, you'll hear from some of these letters that Ramaphosa's doing nothing about it. That's the issue. He's doing nothing about it. So just to recap a little bit, Julius Malema is the head of that party, and he is the leader, really, of this cry to murder the farmers. And I'll make the point again by playing a clip we played yesterday, which is one of the clips that President Trump played in the Oval Office. This is clip 6.
Must never be scared to kill. A revolution demands that at some point there must be killing, because the killing is part of a revolutionary act. Shoot to kill, Yamaza. Kill the poor, the farmer. Kill the poor, the farmer. Brr, pa, pa. Brr, pa, pa.
All right, so President Ramaphosa was, of course, saying, oh, that's just a fringe group, but it's not that big a deal. It's not our policy. It's not our policy to do that, but he allows that. And he's made jokes since he left. There's a headline here that says, Cyril Ramaphosa says he was bemused by Donald Trump's White House meeting. He said, because at the moment we were seated very nicely, and I was beginning to get into the groove of interacting with this man. And suddenly I hear him say, no, make dim the lights. And so he's laughing. He's telling the interviewer about this. That's from The Hill. The press, of course, has been despicable. And I'll give you an example. One of the things that President Trump did was play the elevated or view from a helicopter of a series of crosses. Thousands of crosses. And it's crosses of white farmers who have been murdered. It goes on and on and on. So, you're watching the helicopter, or you're seeing it from the helicopter, and cars are parked along the road to pay homage or respect to the people that their loved ones who have been killed. It must go on for a couple of miles, I would say. And they're on both sides of the road, these little crosses. So, after that took place, and Ramaphosa just kind of blew it off, Carolyn Leavitt had an interaction with Gwen Ifill on a subsequent press conference. This is Gwen Ifill. She asked the question. Carolyn Leavitt answers it. Let's listen.
What's not true, Yamiche?
It's not true that the video was showing a burial site. It is unsubstantiated.
What's unsubstantiated about the video? The video shows crosses that represent the dead bodies of people who were racially persecuted by their government. In fact, the Associated Press, of all places, has a picture of that very monument. And the caption from the Associated Press is, each cross marks a white farmer who has been killed in a farm murder. So it is substantiated, not just by that video, but also by another outlet in this room, the Associated Press. So you should take it up with them if you believe the claim is unsubstantiated. And that's a ridiculous line of questioning.
So now we learn, now I learned this from, this is Fox News, crosses are planted on a hillside at the White Cross Monument, each one marking a white farmer who has been killed in a farm murder. And this is in Yusterberg near Langebaan, South Africa. So, of course, it has been verified, and Gwen Ifill and the rest of the press are just refusing to admit it, and they make it sound like President Trump is another lie of President Trump's, and it's just not. It's just not, and it's certainly not funny. Just to add one other thing here, this is a member, I think, yes, he's wearing an EFF cap. By the way, I noticed in one of those rallies of Julius Malema, there were thousands and thousands of people, and guess who else was in the crowd? Police. And the police were, they had a chant, kill the boer, killed the white farmer. They're dancing up and down as he's chanting this. And so here is one of the members of the EEF. He wrote this on, like, I think Instagram, and he says, his name is Mampuro Mampura. We need to unite as black people. There are less than 5 million white in South Africa versus 45 million of us. We can kill all this white within 2 weeks. We have the army and the police. If those who are killing farmers can do it, what are you waiting for? Shoot the boar. Kill the farmer. So it goes on endlessly. And I want to share with you some of these letters that I've heard from people. They didn't come to me directly, but they came to somebody that I know. All right, this is from someone named Sharon who's in a nearby country. And she said, in Africa, she said, yes, I believe white farmers are being targeted, brutally beaten, women and girls raped and murdered. And I'm only aware of these incidents through families and friends of the victims who have posted the atrocities on Facebook. But nothing has been reported in our news here. Kill the boar has been deemed a freedom of speech. But a white girl dressing up as a gollywog, and I don't know what a gollywog is, must be some African, I guess, for a party is racialist. There is a lot wrong with this country. One gets fined 1,000 R's for not having a TV license, but a murderer pays half that to be let out on bail, never to see the inside of a jail or courtroom. And then she says, Mom and I try to keep ourselves to ourselves. This is another person. She says, mostly these murders of the white farmers are in Limpopo, Mugalagnaga, Free State, Natal. I know about an attack where the parents were murdered and the daughter left for dead with 6 bullets lodged in her body. That was near Bloemfontein, and I believe it was a big, expensive farm setup. I understand they were maize farmers. They went home to find their parents murdered in Limpopo. A couple from the UK bought a place in the Natal Midlands to be near their daughter, who was marrying a South African. Just a house with a lovely garden. They were not young, and the man was murdered in an attack, and the wife raped, murdered, and her body dumped quite a ways away. Rather a brutal attack. Another person I knew went to visit his son or daughter on a farm near Port Elizabeth and was attacked so badly beaten that he lost his hearing. Another one says, the radical party, the EFF, I heard chanting and singing Kill the Boar would precipitate genocide of white farmers if they gain control of the government. And the previous president, Jacob Zuma, that's the guy who is part of the Zulu tribe, was of similar ilk. There is a talk of land appropriation, and absolutely many of the murders of farmers have been race-related. And then they go to mention someone that they know. I'm not going to name names here because I don't think it's safe, but he's a big person in the farmers' union. He told us about a Zoza widow who was farming 60 acres and she was robbed of everything she owned. So it's complicated. It's a multi-layered situation. And I think we need to make that a little bit clearer because Joel kind of, Pollock in the opening, kind of said that it's crime and it's also black. Black Africans are also being killed. The rabbi, who's the chief rabbi in South Africa, is Goldstein. He actually makes that point, too. And I want you to hear what he has to say, because I think we should know exactly what's what. And this is clip 14. This is Rabbi Goldstein.
Every South African knows that she is right, that violent crime savages black and white alike. The numbers do not lie. In 2024, 26,232 people were murdered in South Africa. That means that just over 70 people were murdered every day. To put that into context, more people are murdered in a single year in South Africa, a country of 60 million, than in the combined populations of nearly 1 billion across the US, EU, UK, Australia, and New Zealand. The total death toll of those murdered in 30 years of ANC rule is 653,758. Think about that number, 650,000 people who have been murdered on the ANC's watch.
You know, that sounds like communism. That sounds like the numbers are not quite, because there were millions murdered by Stalin. But Hitler, I mean, this is mass murder of an African National Congress. That's what he's talking about. At their hands, while they're leading, they allowed this to take place. But he makes the point that it's black and white. But that doesn't mean there's not a genocide against white farmers, because you heard this Julius Malema calling for that. It just means, I think what they're trying to say is not every South African black is trying to do that. It's this particular party, which has thousands and thousands of people. So it's a very big deal, but it's an important distinction. Now, one other thing that really struck me about the rabbi and what he said, this next telling reminds me so much of what's happening around the world. It's happening in Europe. It's happening in the United States. Let's listen. This is clip 13.
Every decent human being in the world watching this knows instinctively that kill the Boer, kill the farmer is hate speech and criminal incitement to violence. SRF polls show that the vast majority of South Africans, including ANC and EFF voters, regard it as hateful and wrong. Everyone knows it is wrong, except President Ramaphosa, who has never publicly condemned the chant as hate speech, not even in the Oval Office when he had every opportunity and motive to do so. Everyone knows it's wrong, except the judges of the Constitutional Court, who just a few weeks ago ruled unanimously that kill the Boer, kill the farmer is neither hate speech nor incitement to violence. They even dismissed the right of AfriForum to appeal the decision, saying it was inconceivable that another court could hold differently. This judgment casts a shadow on the integrity and legacy of the Constitutional Court and makes a mockery of their role.
That's the last part that I was saying I think is happening everywhere, which we know it is. I just did this whole show, a couple of shows on Romania and how the courts just threw out an election. We see what's happening with our courts here. It's happening in France. Marie Le Pen has been removed from her ability to run for office because she leads the conservatives. She's gaining in power and they've taken her out. The courts have done that. The courts in England are doing similar things. It just helps you to understand why when the founders laid out Article 3, that was the thing that covered judges, the Supreme Court, it really wanted to limit the power of judges because you can see what happens when they become lawless. They don't answer to anyone. They're appointed, and that's what they're doing in South Africa as well. Now, one other point that the rabbi makes that I think is worth mentioning, and I'll go back to another email that I got. This is from a Canadian who just spent, let's just say she's not writing it, her friend is writing it. She says, a Canadian friend just spent 3 weeks there. And her comment was, we didn't ask a lot about that, meaning the killings, while we were there. Killings are just what South Africa deals with all the time these days. People don't seem to want to talk about all the problems in their country with us, rather reminisce about our happy youth. And so that point is something I've noticed too with Lynn also as we talked on our first episode, is this hesitation really to call it out. That's why what President Trump did in the Oval Office was shocking. Because people who live in that, it's like a traumatized family when the dad's an alcoholic and no one wants to talk about it, or the dad beats the mother and no one wants to talk about it. The kids don't mention it. They act like it's not happening. And I think that may be what's happening in South Africa. And so let me show you what the rabbi had to say about what needs to happen about that. This is clip 15.
It is very painful and disturbing to share these statistics. But the only path to a better future is by having the courage to be honest about the failings of the present, to have the courage to acknowledge that what is happening in South Africa is a genocide. It is not a white genocide. It is not a black genocide. It is a human genocide. Every South African knows this. Now, thanks to the spectacle in the White House, the world does too.
Okay, courage to speak up. And that, you know, can you imagine the danger he's putting himself in by speaking up? I think that rabbi is very impressive. If you didn't hear the first part of this, you'll want to hear some of the other clips I played. I have another one I want to play for you probably at the end of the show today. But I have one more email that I want to read to you. And it's from a black South African, and it really is simply amazing. Now, it's lengthy. It's lengthy, so I'll do my best to read it to you in a way that makes sense. I want to set it up by this, because he will refer to this. This is Nelson Mandela, who was the the man released from prison who came out to lead South Africa under the banner of the African National Congress, which at that time was not what it is now. And this is what he said, just kind of laying down the gauntlet or the marker for a future for South Africa. And this is clip 11.
We enter into a covenant that we shall build a society in which all South Africans, both black and white, will be able to walk tall without any fear in their hearts, assured of their inalienable right to human dignity, a rainbow nation at peace with itself and the world.
All right, so that was Nelson Mandela, who no longer is with us. He's dead now. That was many years ago. That was 1994, actually, when he made that speech. Now, the current president, as we said, is Cyril Ramaphosa. He's the one who was in the Oval Office with President Trump when President Trump turned down the lights and showed him, when he denied there was any killing of white South African farmers, Dutch in descent, who've been there for 400 or 500 years, by the way, denied it was happening. And someone asked President Trump, you know, what will it do to convince you that this is not true? Well, that's kind of the setting of this. But this, again, is so gripping that I want you to hear it. And again, I'll try to read it. It's called "I Am Tired, Mr. President," a final cry from a forgotten black citizen. Mr. Ramaphosa, I am writing this not as a politician, not as a scholar, not even as a writer, but as a human being, a black South African born into a promise that was never kept. I remember the voices, the songs, the fists in the air. I was there when the struggle became a victory, or so we were told. I saw the flags rise, the votes cast, the headlines scream freedom. And like so many others, I believed you. I believed the ANC. I believed that my life would change. But it hasn't. It's gotten worse. You speak of the Freedom Charter, of 70 years of vision. But what good is a vision when the people it was meant for can't see past the trash heap outside their shack? You speak of through the eye of the needle. But the ANC is no longer going through that needle. It's stitching closed the mouths of the poor while sewing golden suits for the elite. Let me tell you what my life looks like, Mr. President. I live in a tin shack in a forgotten township where the winter cold cuts through the metal like a blade. There is no insulation, no warmth, no burn paraffin to keep warm, choking on the smoke that hangs heavy like hopelessness. The stench of sewage fills the air. Open drains, blocked toilets, rats, disease. Every day I see the children playing next to rubbish. We've learned to live among the filth because no one comes and no one cares. Our streets are full of potholes and broken dreams. The taxis speed recklessly. The ambulances arrive late, if they arrive at all. The clinics are overwhelmed, understaffed, and under-equipped. People die in waiting rooms while politicians cut ribbons at new hospitals that never open. Our schools are overcrowded and falling apart. Children sit on the floor. Some walk to school barefoot. Many can't read a full sentence by the time they leave. And then you blame apartheid, blame white people, blame the economy, but you never blame yourselves. I am tired of blame. I am tired of excuses. I am tired of speeches. You say it is an immeasurable honor to lead the ANC, but the ANC has become a disgrace. It is not a movement anymore. It is a feeding trough, a self-serving machine that preys on the poor and lives off our suffering. You get paid to lie to us while we bleed in silence. Mr. Ramaphosa, you fly in jets, surrounded by bodyguards, staying in luxury. You ride in blue light convoys through cities you've never had to walk through. You talk about honor, but you have forgotten what honor looks like. Honor is not reading from a podium in a designer suit. Honor is being willing to suffer with your people. And you don't. Our grandmothers wait in the sun for their money, sometimes for days. Our mothers sell fat cakes just to buy bread. Our brothers turn to crime because hope is gone. Our sisters raise children alone while you talk about economic transformation that we cannot eat. Dignity means nothing when you're hungry. And yes, I have thought it. Sometimes I wish I were white and lived in Oriana. not because I want to be something else, but because they seem to live in a different South African country, a country where the lights stay on, where the water flows, where their government doesn't abandon them and then tell them it's for their own good. You made us believe in freedom, but this is not freedom. This is survival. I don't want land, Mr. President. I don't want to take anything from anyone else. I don't want handouts or broken promises. I want a job. I want a chance. I want to build something with my own hands and say, I did this. I want to be proud, but your leadership has stolen that from me. You talk of renewal, but what can you renew when you never built anything in the first place? The ANC is a corpse being dragged across the stage, dressed in struggle songs and false glory. Its heartbeat is corruption. Its language is lies. You blame, we suffer. You eat, we starve. You speak, we cry. You live, we try not to die. And now as I write this, my neighbor's child coughs in the cold. My cousin has just lost her job because her employer immigrated. Another door has closed. Another life broken. You don't need to answer this letter, Mr. President. You already have. Every pothole, every power cut, every hungry belly, that's your answer. Every time you quote the Freedom Charter while living in luxury, you insult us. Every time you talk about honor and leadership while protecting criminals, you wound us. I'm not asking anymore. I'm not waiting anymore. I'm simply telling you this. You have failed us, and we are done believing in you. We are tired. We're cold. We are angry. But most of all, we are disappointed because we believed in you. This letter is not written in hatred, but in heartbreak. It is not a political campaign. It is the voice of a citizen who has nothing left but the truth. It is not aimed at personal insult, but at public responsibility, Mr. Ramaphosa. You promised us freedom. We are still waiting. Well, just to remind you, that's from a black South African. I thought that was brilliant, beautifully written, and certainly a heart cry from a human being that has nothing to do with its color. And so that's what South Africa is facing. That's why President Trump was calling them out. Yes, black people are being murdered and torn apart also, but not targeted like white South African farmers, which is what the EEF is calling out. Look, murder is murder. Brutality is brutality. And leadership that's corrupt and violent is leadership that's corrupt and violent. And so it hasn't got a color code, and I think that's probably been clear through this discussion. Well, right after this, I have one more thing to play for you, but we'll take a break. And you don't want to miss this, so stay tuned. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
When you become a monthly sponsor of Preborn, you will actually get a picture of the babies you help to save. That's pretty good plum, isn't it? But also, you can sponsor what's called a day of life. And that's sponsoring an entire day of women, you know, having ultrasounds at these clinics. And it's more money. It's a bigger investment. For a gift of $5,000, you can sponsor an entire day. And so that's why we call it a day of life. If you'd like to do that, if you can afford to do that, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
All right, Sandy Rios back with you. Well, we're going to end this second part on South Africa with another clip from the chief rabbi of South Africa, Rabbi Goldstein, because he ends his comments with a warning to President Ramaphosa. Isn't it interesting? It's not Ramaphosa who's calling for kill the Boer, murder the farmer. He's not saying that. He's saying, oh, that's not our policy. That's not our policy. But we just heard from our black African friend. He does nothing about it. He doesn't care. He doesn't care about blacks. He doesn't care about whites. And so he's not doing anything to stop Julius Malema for his vindictive move on thousands of white farmers who are being killed. He does nothing about that. And so Rabbi Goldstein has a word for him. Let's listen.
The shame and embarrassment you experienced in the White House in the full glare of the media as you were accused of grievous sins against your own people is a small taste of what is to come when your soul leaves this world. Like all human beings after death, you will appear in the full glare of the light of truth before your Creator, the Almighty Himself, the only true judge. In the heavenly court, you will stand accused of presiding over the human suffering of all those who were murdered on your watch. The King of all kings will ask you what you did to stop the carnage, the genocide. What you went through this week is nothing in comparison. You were in the Oval Office in the presence of flesh and blood, merely politicians and journalists who are here today, gone tomorrow. You could spin and pretend and obfuscate, and you could squirm and even giggle and wait for the hell to pass. But before your Creator, who knows everything, you will not be able to fudge and avoid the truth. The truth of your leadership and your life will play out before you, and you will be held eternally accountable for every moment of human suffering you caused through your callous neglect, through your omissions and commissions. Live out the remaining days of your term of office with this final judgment in mind, and maybe then you can still redeem yourself and your long-suffering countrymen.
That was the voice of Rabbi Goldstein, the chief rabbi of South Africa, with his warning to the current president of South Africa, Cyril Ramaphosa. There's nothing I can add to that. That is the postscript for all of our lives, depending on how we live them, and depending on whether we yield to the lordship of Christ. It was a sobering statement, really meant for as a reminder for all of us. So as I leave you today, I hope that this has given you something to reflect on, because surely we have a holy God who frowns on all of our sins. The ones that Ramaphosa and the South African tribal parties are engaging in is brutal, but there are other sins, and the punishment is grave. It's time to be serious, not only there, but in our country as well, about our relationship to God and our knowledge of Him. So I'm going to leave you with that for today, and I'm going to thank Timothy Plan, because they teach us how to put our money where our values are, and our values, of course, are in that Word of God, which we share with Rabbi Goldstein. And so they teach you how to put your values where your money is and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TIM-PLAN. Well, thank you for listening soberly with me to the story of South Africa. And now we know how to think about it when we hear it in the news and how to pray about it. We've learned that on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.